Truman Capote's In Cold Blood focuses on the slaying of the Clutter family in Holcomb, Kansas. Published in 1965, the book became a sensation for its evocative depiction of place and character, and it's recently become a sensation again as the subject of two different movies. The new film, Infamous, is written and directed by Douglas McGrath, a one-time Woody Allen collaborator, best known for his film of Jane Austen's Emma. David Edelstein has a review.
So here's my fantasy of the writer and director Doug McGrath at a cocktail party last Christmas, around the time that Philip Seymour Hoffman was racking up awards and nominations for the movie Capote. "Hey, Doug, how's it going? Working on anything?" "Yeah, I got this movie about Truman Capote and the writing of In Cold Blood." "Ha, good one. Seriously, what are you working on?" "No, really, it's been in the works for years." "Whoa, dude, what a bummer. Hard act to follow." Yeah, it must have been rough for McGrath. On the other hand, some of us found Capote, in spite of Hoffman's stupendous performance, on the dreary side. The screenwriter, Dan Futterman, took his cues from Janet Malcolm's book, The Journalist and the Murderer, which opened with the madly overheated assertion that, quote, "Every journalist who is not too stupid or too full of himself to notice what is going on knows what he does is morally indefensible." This notion of the journalist's inevitable betrayal of his or her subject is at the heart of the film Capote, which became the story of a devious little jerk who sells his soul for a book. It was Truman's blood that ran cold. Well, any movie about Truman Capote with almost no sense of humor has taken a wrong turn somewhere, and the good news is that Infamous mostly gets the balance right. As Capote, the English actor Toby Jones is just dandy. He's cunning, yet playful. And he's surrounded by the most delicious actors. Sigourney Weaver as Babe Paley, Hope Davis as Slim Keith, and the divine Juliet Stevenson as Diana Vreeland. She delivers an ode to eccentricity that frames Capote generously. We marvel at the man's incorrigibility and his sardonic wit, and we're allowed to discover for ourselves that he's a devious little jerk. No, not precisely a jerk, an actor in a world of actors. When Capote heads off to report on the inexplicable slaughter of an entire family, the Clutters, in a Kansas farmhouse, he isn't prepared for the murderer Perry Smith, played by Daniel Craig. Smith calls Capote on his artifice and forces him into the real, unstylized world. Back in New York high society, he can hardly find the words to express what he has seen.
"What about Terry?"
"It's Perry, as in Antoinette. He's an enigma. You know, before he killed the Clutter boy, he put a pillow under his head, and he wouldn't let Dick rape the girl."
"He's not all kind."
"Jack's right. After these demonstrations of gentility, he did shoot them dead."
"And cut the old man's throat."
"So there's something... I can't quite put my finger on it. It seems insane to say that he's tender, but he does have the tender and the terrible side by side inside him. He's very...
He's very...
Never mind that. Let's go around the table and you can all tell me whom you're having affairs with."
I admit that a few weeks after seeing Infamous, that film and Capote have gotten jumbled in my head. Catherine Keener in Capote is a hugely likable mixture of modesty and tartness as close friend Harper Lee. But so is Sandra Bullock here. She's a little broader, in keeping with the spirit of the Enterprise, but so smart and fun. Jeff Daniels is broad, too, as the Kansas Bureau of Investigation agent Alvin Dewey. But his exasperation with Capote's effete entitlement is a howl. The problem with McGrath's writing is that there's no subtext. People blurt things out as fast as the words pop into their heads. Great for cocktail party repartee, not so good for feeling out mass murderers on Kansas's death row. Daniel Craig brings a restless energy to Perry Smith that's scary and convincing, but I kept wanting to insert longer pauses between his and Capote's lines, maybe to bring the picture halfway back to the dread, the sense of groping for the unknowable in that other movie. If someone could edit the two together, a bit from one, a bit from the other, call it the infamous Capote, we'd have the definitive story of the writing of In Cold Blood. In the meantime, you could do worse than watch both films and do a kind of mixtape in your head. It's an important enough story in the annals of American journalism. And Doug McGrath should feel vindicated. Infamous wins the contest with Capote on points.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.